Welcome back, listeners. I am so happy to have you here with me today. If you're new, welcome to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I am your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. I hope that each and every one of you had a fantastic holiday with your loved ones and friends and are excited to turn the page and invite a new year with new opportunity for growth and achievement. If you guys are here with us today, we're going to assume that for a good reason. And today, I hope you feel challenged, inspired, and certainly stretched in new, exciting ways after hearing the experiences of two competitors, myself being one, and our unique journeys, triumphs, struggles, and secrets as we dive into and explore the realm of trusting ourselves and staying out of our heads, particularly as it relates to a competitor's mindset. So today for you all, I am joined with one of my near and dear athletes and best friends of 3 years and two-time overall bikini champion, Alexa Sauter. Alexa, thank you for joining us today.
I am so excited to be here.
We
Thank
adore you.
you.
We adore you. But what many of you guys may not know is that Alexa and I recently took a trip to Big Apple together and met for the very first time in person after years of working together. I remember like the anticipation and the excitement leading up to
Oh,
this trip, even to this day.
the buildup was intense. It was intense.
It was literally the best thing I think either one of us has ever done in our entire lives.
Oh, yeah.
But that certainly didn't come without some anxiety. I think for me, I was most afraid of, you never know when you're meeting somebody where my mom, one of her best friends, was someone that she worked with, and you never know when you start to cross that line of like, okay, now we're going to be sleeping in the same bed. We're going to be going out to eat. I'm perceiving this as a vacation. And
Right.
while I always, want to nourish myself, I'm checking out. I'm not going to be Coach Maddie. And I remember you kind of opening up about your own reservations on the trip. So would you just share with our audience, what might have been most anxiety provoking for you?
Yeah, I think kind of along the same lines. I mean, being with Maddie for 3 years, kind of strictly as an athlete client. And although I would definitely consider us friends, especially being like together for years, I think it definitely is different when you cross that line and like meet for the first time. And I remember Maddie had actually texted me like before we left and was like, "Hey, I just want to let you know I'm not Coach Maddie this weekend." And I was like, it kind of felt like a sense of relief because I was worried that I kind of like we didn't really discuss how the dynamic was going to be beforehand until like right before it happened. So I was like, "Wait, am I going to have to like weigh my food or like what's the deal?" I remember I also asked like, "Oh, do I have to bring in my check-in stuff because I'm going to be there on my check-in day?" And it was definitely like a kind of anxiety inducing just because I didn't really know where I would stand with that. But I think once we both realized like this is both a break for each of us from like work, life, everything, and then also as like a client coach relationship, it was also a break from that. And I think once we recognized that and kind of really like soaked that part in, it made the trip so much more enjoyable.
And I think too, one of the things that we had acknowledged, and we'll get down to the inspiration, if you will, behind the title of this podcast, because that's I think what is like so cool about this.
Oh, yeah.
So audience, hang in there with us. We're getting there. But Alexa, what I really want to talk about is what this trip really did for both of us. And you already alluded to it, and that is it broke the cycle for us. So something that I kind of want for us to discuss here is what does it mean to be in the cycle versus out of it as a competitor or as an athlete. I think for me, being in the cycle is very much relating to getting to the gym 5 or 6 days a week and following a very regimented training program. It means being very data oriented, right? Numbers are everything. The scale, the measurements, being in the cycle means, like, God forbid, you fall outside of 5, give or take, plus or minus 5 grams of macros on any given day. For
You're
you,
just
if
like
ever
any
add
variable
anything.
is like detrimental almost.
Yeah, even
Yeah.
like digestion, you know, being like, oh, I didn't poop today. This
Oh
is
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, like totally. And I also think like for me, being in the cycle is kind of, I think we're all the same as like competitors, it's kind of all the same, but just like where everything revolves around a routine of weighing food, tracking macros, and like all these things that are like clockwork, like they become clockwork, workouts, everything. And it in prep, it's definitely serves its purpose because it helps us reach our goals and keeps us on track. But there's also a point where that structure starts to control us and then we lose control of it. And I think when you're out of the cycle, it's not really, it doesn't, you don't become reckless. It's just about learning how to trust your body and like adapt to these signals and situations without like letting this guilt and anxiety become like over consuming. And I think that's the hardest part is like learning to break from the cycle and the routine without feeling like you're losing progress or without being riddled with guilt.
Yeah, you brought up two really good things there. The first is where it does truly serve us. You know, I think when you're in a, you know, coming out of a contest prep, the rigidity of having a cycle is really healthy. When you are conversely getting ready for show and you are in a prep, that rigidity and that structure, it's integral to success. But the problem is, and I can speak on behalf of myself for this. When you're in the structure and when you are in the cycle for so long, that is where you find comfort and resolve, and you actually find that you're more anxious when you're not in it, that's a telltale sign that it's time to break out. And something that I also want to mention here is like, not because I'm your coach, but Alexa, you're so lucky to have opened your arms and truly embraced such discomfort and taking a leap, like doing this trip and really doing it right and sort of allowing yourself to be unbridled and like truly enjoy yourself and being present. Because a lot of competitors, I think, justify, oh, I'm not in the cycle when they're in an off season. But what they don't realize is that sometimes, depending on your coach and what their protocols are, off season can distort your relationship with food and training even more. It's like I have to eat like an a-hole in order to grow.
Yeah, and I think also what is far too common, at least that I see, is like there's competitors who, as soon as like the day after their show ends, they call it off season. Yet they don't really change a lot of things. I think they just relabel like the same habits. And in their mind, they think that they're easing themselves of like and embracing this new season. When I don't think that's the case. And I know that because I was guilty of that. I mean, I literally had my birthday 4 weeks post show and I was freaking out. I literally almost didn't even want to go out to dinner with my family and my boyfriend and indulge and enjoy myself because I felt like it was going to ruin my progress and ruin my routine. And at that point, I realized that like I was definitely stuck in the cycle and I needed to break free from that. And I think New York was such like a pivotal moment. And that, and like, not to say that I didn't have any others. Like, I definitely was thrown some curveballs in my like reverse. I went to Europe and I had to handle that. And like, there was definitely times where you have to have some sort of rigidity just because like your body's still fragile. But there's a certain point where it's too much. It's overbearing. And I think New York was that point in my off season where I realized I really truly can be in my off season. Like I can take a break. I can chill out. And I think like when you become so riddled with anxiety and you have to say no to social events and trips because you don't want to lose control or routine, it's just it makes it really hard. And then another thing is like which you had mentioned before to me was having to justify everything and like tracking macros because it was easier. even though like is it really easier? Or like are you just convincing yourself that? And I think you're just trying to justify this to avoid the discomfort and confront what's actually there. And it takes a lot of reflection to notice these patterns. And it also takes a lot to really like truly live a balanced life. And I am lucky in the sense that this was my first competitive season and this is my first reverse. And this is also my first true off season. But I truly feel like I've embraced every aspect of everything. And not to say I've done it perfectly, but I literally mentally, physically feel amazing where I am in my life. Like I'm so happy and so satisfied.
Well, and it's so evident in your check-ins. You know, I think I love that you mentioned there, you said, we justify, and this is for people that are taking notes or just interested in really the three key things that can be a really telltale sign that you're stuck in this cycle. For one, it's feeling anxious because you can't track everything, including a meal or a day. An example of that is your birthday, right? It's like when you really zoom out and you see that bird's eye perspective in the moment, it's like this one meal could really make or break things. And now when you've done an experience like New York and you've had what, 15 meals that are
Oh, yeah.
untracked, that it seems silly to have agonized over that. Another is saying no to experiences for the sake of losing control. Alexa, you were 1 week post-show and you were asking me, can I go to a once in a lifetime experience in Germany and go to Beer Fest or Oktoberfest? And I was like, of course you can. We're going to find a way to make that work. And then third, the justification of, well, it's easier. I like my routine. Explore that. I challenge you, if you're the girl sitting on the other side of the screen or listening to this and you're hearing, oh, but I like that, do you really? Because
I am also evidence of that exact situation because I remember for weeks and weeks on end, I would check in with Maddie and I'd be like, oh, but I'm so comfortable. Oh, but I love routine. Oh, but I thrive on routine. And that doesn't mean that the routine has to stay the same. Like you can change your routine also.
For sure.
If you thrive on routine, okay, we'll just adjust it. Like in your off season, you can change things, or you don't even have to have any routine. I mean, right now, I mean, it's the holiday season. I have zero routine and I'm thriving right now. Like, and you know, I think it's definitely something that people need to recognize is like, do you truly enjoy your routine? And I think if you're in prep, it's a little different. But if you're out of prep and you think you need to be doing the same thing every day on the clock, every hour, I think it's definitely something to question or at least just address and see if that's truly like what makes you happy.
So as we kind of discuss that, now that you've had this experience, if you feel comfortable, are you willing to share maybe something for, when we were in season, some of the homework that I was giving you? Now, granted, this still didn't help us in New York. We still had to have a further conversation, which I can discuss with people, but, what were some of the things that we had done in order to make sure that we still nourish that, maybe begrudgingly, but nourish that freedom within you?
Yeah, so with me, it was a little harder because I really didn't want to let go of my routine and I really didn't want to, you know, diverge or like do anything that I felt like wasn't aiding myself towards my goals, but we ultimately decided to try 1 to 2 untracked meals here and there every week and just see what happens. And at that, I mean, when I first heard that, I honestly panicked. But I learned to work with it, and it's definitely not the easiest adjustment to make. And I was hesitant, and it definitely feels like you're stepping into unknown territory. And like for someone like me who believed that I really thrived on structure, which I do sometimes, but not all the time. It was definitely scary. And I think small steps like that really helped me. And it reminded me that food isn't the enemy and I could enjoy meals without feeling out of control. And as someone who previously had some issues with food like years and years ago, it definitely helped me not go down that path again because there was definitely a time in prep and right after prep where I felt like I was beginning to label foods good and bad, and I think you have to not, I think to disrupt that with the 1 to 2 untracked meals, it really helped, and it made me overcome this, that it's not about the numbers, and it was more about how I felt. I really honed in on how I felt energy wise, if I was satisfied, and if I enjoyed the meals, because I was eating these meals with my family and my friends and my boyfriend, and that was really a huge shift on my perception of food, and it definitely helped my relationship with food. And now, I mean, we're a lot more lenient with that. I have, intuitive eating days where I eat intuitively, and I wholeheartedly trust myself with that. And I really, it's such a crazy concept to know. It's a crazy
Your
concept.
face when you said that, you're like, yeah, I do. I think in that comment or something that I thought of, which I haven't thought of in a few minutes or in a while, because we haven't really checked in on this because you're not really doing untracked meals anymore. But when I check in with you, there was when I first prescribed you, excuse me, to take an untracked meal, I remember telling you, I would like for you to tell me when you took the diversion. And then I emphasized in your instruction, yes, it is under the diversions that you'll write that, but it is a prescribed diversion. And then I said, I want you to reflect on how you felt, what you ate. If there was any sort of like digestive issues, right? That could indicate you maybe ate too fast, or maybe you ate, you chose something that you knew didn't really serve you. And I think asking yourself those questions, especially working with a coach, whether it's me or somebody else, but who's going to actually explore and sort of guide you down that path of genuinely checking back in with yourself and reflecting on those untracked meals so you can then build that self-efficacy and muscle of, no, I can actually trust myself. I remember that for myself, I was so afraid when I was first given untracked meals to get back to 147 was the number I never wanted to be. And it's ironic because today I stepped on the scale at 145. And, I had no control at that time around food. I had no control at that time around alcohol, and I hated the body that I occupied. So automatically, I had that fear. But I think it's really telling when you start exploring the other side of things and you really realize that being in control is comforting until you realize it's not control at all. It is fear disguised as discipline. So as we were on this trip together, Alexa, as we start to kind of segue into the meat and potatoes of this call. What was I won't forget it, but we had a very pivotal moment on this trip when we were out at we were getting espresso martinis. And I think you had, I don't know what triggered the conversation. I think you had said like, wow, I can't, it was something about us drinking espresso martinis. I think you were like, Maddie, I can't remember the last time that I drank, let alone didn't order something that was like a vodka soda.
And I think also it was like at that moment I was kind of just reflecting on like what we had done up to that point on our trip, and I was like, wow, I don't remember the last time I had like a day or 2 days of not tracking my food and like feeling great about it, like, you know, like happy, satisfied, content. Like, I really did. I don't remember the last time like that had happened, and I think that's what sparked our conversation.
Okay, I don't even realize, I don't even think I realized that that is what was going on because it's so ironic because intuitively, the analogy that I then gave you, and I'll explain this to our listeners, I'm getting excited over here, but we had came up with this name of the podcast like 5 minutes after we had this conversation. And it's so ironic because what you just said was in the past, when you had eaten out and maybe not tracked things, you didn't trust yourself, even in retrospect. Like after the deed was done, after the meal was consumed, healthy or not, you were resentful and you were remorseful. And we never really stopped to check in with ourselves. We never stopped to give ourselves credit for the fact that we know how to effing eat.
And I think
So,
going back to that just quickly,
yeah.
it is so important to have a coach that makes you realize those things. Like, I really truly, if I didn't have Maddie checking in with me and making me ask myself these questions when I was going out or eating or, having these diversions that weren't really diversions, but like just checking in with myself, I think really helped that relationship with food, or like not even relationship with food, but like, just that perspective change.
I mean, it's a tough shift, especially as a bodybuilder, when it comes to food, to not focus so much on the food, right? Another thing we focused on was the experience. And I think that that's why New York was such a breakthrough for you, was it wasn't even about the food. In fact, we had some meals where we were like, that tasted like crap. But it was more about we still ate it because it was about the experience. And I think that that's what so many competitors lose sight of. Food becomes this thing. It becomes like this obsession. And it's not every meal has to even taste good,
Yeah,
right?
it's like all consuming. It's literally an all-consuming thought. And like I get it, because there's one point where your body goes into that sort of mindset just instinctively, but it's not about that, and it doesn't have to be about that.
For sure. So, as we're sitting down at this bar, I looked over at Alexa and I was like, "Alexa, all right. We forget a lot about how we can really trust ourselves and our abilities to make rational decisions." And so, I said, "Let me ask you this, Alexa. If I were to tell you to go purchase a bag at Bergdorf's, would you do it?" And to that, you would say, and I think you said, "Hell no." And I said, okay, so going to purchase a bag at Bergdorf's or Prada or Louis Vuitton in New York, it's not really something that you just do on a whim. You know, you really think about that purchase. You make sure you've saved up for it. It's got to be real freaking special, right? Then we talked about cake. And many of our listeners probably know that the cake boss, Carlos's Bakery, is right there in New York. And I asked you, I said, okay, Alexa, if you were to go down there and I would have said to go get a whole piece of Cake Boss's cake, would you indulge? And to that, I remember you kind of looking at me and going, perhaps with a bit of like a YOLO mentality, like we're only in New York
I
once together.
was like, maybe.
Maybe, right? And then when I asked you if we were going to get Chip City and we were going to eat a cookie that night, your answer,
Hell
it
yes.
wasn't just like a yeah, you know, it's like a drop in the bucket, easy. So I really think that that analogy, Bergdorf cake and cookies, or cookies, cake, and Bergdorf, is really the perfect analogy for learning how to internalize that we can trust ourselves and our ability to make sound decisions as it pertains to our nourishment practices. We forget that we're not going to eat like a-holes, particularly if we simply pause for a moment to just think about something, right? Like the Bergdorf bag, there are events and even seasons where we find ourselves indulging just a bit more. But even then, it's not an excess or to be gluttonous. Maybe we look at our bank account after the fact and we go, woof. You know, that did a number. That Louis Vuitton bag or that Bergdorf bag, that was a few grand. But then we also recognize that the investment was totally worth it and the money will come and go, right? So the Bergdorfs of your nourishment experiences, those are the once in a lifetime vacations. Those are the weddings. Those are the anniversaries. And we have to recognize that we get so worked up over the Bergdorfs. But you're not going to buy Louis Vuitton or Bergdorf's every day. These are the experiences, if you will, that happen in the 2 to 4% of the time. Then we have moments where we don't go balls to the wall, but perhaps we eat more conscientiously so we can incorporate a thing that's a bit more indulgent, just like the rainbow cake from Carlos's Bakery. And this is the events that you do one time a year, right? These are birthdays that come every year, but once a year. These are the Christmases that come every year, but once a year. These aren't the once in a lifetime things. We may indulge for the sake of an experience, or maybe it's just a formality, right? It's not necessarily that you're dying for the cake, but you're only in New York once. Maybe this is something that we plan for. And granted, this is key. we have the ability to control some other variables, right? So if you, for example, have a it's your husband's work anniversary with his job, that's something that maybe you're eating a little bit more conscientiously around throughout the day, because it's not really that big of a deal, right? It's like, this is for him, it's not for us. We can indulge. We're not going to have extreme autonomy and control, but I don't need to get fixated and hung up on this one event. But these things happen more regularly. They're probably more of like the 5 to 8% of our lives. So it is more important that at these cake-like events, we're eating more conscientiously throughout the day. And then we have our cookie decisions. So, Alexa, if you kind of want to take over and discuss the cookie decisions,
Oh, you
feel
know I
free.
love me Chip City. So the cookies, these are like the smaller, accessible indulgences that are way easier to fit into your daily life. You know, these are like the little treats at night. This is ordering the dessert at dinner with your boyfriend or husband. They're not something to really overthink and stress about because they're a drop in the bucket. You know, like these choices don't define us and they don't derail us of our progress. And they're actually a part of, you know, creating a sustainable lifestyle. It's part of integrating that into your routine is what is balance, you know? Like it's okay to have a dessert, you know. You can have a little cookie after dinner. Like you're gonna be okay. And I think as we learned, eating cookies every single night, and we're both the same. I look the same
We, Alexa and I, that's why we keep talking about Chip City. Alexa and I literally DoorDashed Chip City cookies every single night. And these are
Oh,
like
every night.
crumble, but on crack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's talking to me, my Alexa. I can't say her name out loud or she starts yelling at me here.
Name is forbidden.
Yeah, it is. That some of the cookie moments, for those of you that may not be a sweet tooth type of girl, these are like the samples that they give out at Trader Joe's, right? Like eating that is not something that you necessarily, depending on what season you're in, need to go back and like track in your macros. And so I think that as our listeners are listening, one question that you could ask yourself is how can we redefine some of these indulgences as part of an experience rather than something that we can feel guilty about?
Yeah.
You know,
Well,
trusting yourself isn't always about knowing that you're going to make the right choice. It's about knowing that you can handle the outcome of the choices that you make.
oh,
It's about
exactly.
knowing that if you make a decision to eat the cookies at Chip City, is that the right choice in terms of, I guess the context matters, but you can handle the outcome of that choice because of the experience that we had around that every night.
Yeah. And I think that goes hand in hand with many experiences that people would have with these the analogy for cookies, like, you know, a date night or something, or going to the movies and ordering candy. Like it's something memorable, it's special, and even though it's little, it counts to like balance, but also memories. And I think what stood out to me when we had that conversation was how we naturally and instinctively assign values to like these different indulgences. And, you know, like, yeah, we wouldn't blow our savings on a Bergdorf bag without thought, but do it sometimes. And, you know, like, we don't have to fear that a small cookie will throw us off our goals because it's about trusting that we can make these decisions based on the situations. And, you know, like, in terms of our analogy, if we could do it with money, why not with food, you know?
Well, and I think that when you take the food out of it, right? Something that's so scary. And instead you talk about money, which is so ironic because money should be the scary thing. But when you talk about it in terms of money, it's like, well, no crap. Of course I can, right? So as we're moving along here and we're getting deeper and deeper, deeper into this conversation, another thing that I remember you and I talking about, Alexa, is oscillating. And one thing that I just said was that trusting yourself, and I'll repeat it. It's not about knowing you're going to make the right choice. It's about knowing that you can handle the outcome of the choices you make. This is so key. I have myself allowed for a little bit less rigidity. At times, that has gone to an extreme. I've gone a little bit too far in the opposite direction. And I remember talking to you about this. I remember saying, like, Alexa, if you eat like an a-hole this entire trip and you go home and you've gained 5 or 6 pounds, then guess what? You're more comfortable and you're more knowledgeable and you have me to help you get the 5 pounds off, right? I think there's something to be said for acknowledging that sometimes you're gonna oscillate to a little bit of an extreme, but you're always gonna find yourself in the middle. Like weebles wobble, girl, but they don't fall down.
Oh yeah. And I think something that you actually like, now that you say this, that you pointed out even to me when we were talking about this, is that your body will naturally find where it wants to be. Like I remember after our trip, I weighed myself and I was like 8 pounds over where I normally was. And then 4 days later, I weighed myself again and I was back to where I was before the trip. Like your body will naturally, it'll get yourself there. And like, I think there is an importance of oscillating on either side. And like, yes, I think unfortunately for many of us, at least for me and Maddie, which I know we've discussed, is sometimes going to the extremes on either end help us recognize where like the middle is and like where you actually are, like where you're best at, you know?
I've also talked with a lot of women about the fact that, we get so fixated on a number and it's almost like we will allow ourselves to like it's like I for so long wanted to stay at 130. That was like the number I wanted to be at. We all have this number. And I remember oscillating or, getting all the way up to like 140 and I was like, okay, I got to get back down to 130. And I tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and I could get close, but then it was like I would go out and have a meal and I would skyrocket again. And it's like, if you could just let go of that number and actually find where your body truly wants to be, what you'll find is that you can go on a trip and eat what you want and you actually won't oscillate that much.
Yeah, your body will literally find itself back. And I think something that was so important for me, and like something that I'm actually very, I take pride on this, is I totally detach myself from the number. Like, I know we took a break from the scale just for like mental, and honestly, it's like who wants to weigh themselves every single morning? But I really like the number is not what bothers me, you know? Like, I really learned that, like, learning how I felt and honing in on really what I was feeling and how this particular food or staying out this later, this drink, how those things made me feel instead of, you know, trying to stick to a number and letting a number control me. I think that's where you kind of lose that with yourself. And, you know, once you let go of that, it's so weird how your body will just like get itself back to where it wants to be. And I think that's why losing that number is so important because also, like, year by year, I mean, us bodybuilders, like, we're gonna put on muscle, you know, like, even if there's a number in your head. Chances are, if you want to get to that number the following year, you put on muscle. So, you know, that number is not even, should not even be in your thoughts anymore.
100%. And I want to add before we kind of move on here and just kind of hone in because I think it's important to help listeners attach to why this is something that you and I are so passionate about. But I also think too, for those of the for the women that are listening to this, it's okay to also have a conversation with your coach. This is something that we kind of discussed as we were going through it. And I experimented honestly on you as we went through this, but we learned that it's sometimes more than just doing the untracked eating portion. I think that there's something to be said for this process can be a lot easier if you're given permission to actually step away from a lot of the things that are keeping you in a restricted state, such as have a conversation with your coach to give you permission to train intuitively, or have a conversation with your coach to give you permission to step away from the scale. It's not just the intuitive meal. And I think sometimes if you're having the intuitive meals or you're having the intuitive eating component, locked and loaded, but you also don't have the intuitive training or, the intuitive just step waking up in the morning and assessing for yourself how you feel in your present body, then you can kind of make this tough on yourself because you're still locked in to some extent. Now, you may be asking yourself, then what's the point of a coach? there's a point of a coach in all of this, but that's not what I'm saying. It can help to sometimes step away from a lot of the things that are keeping you locked in.
Yeah, and I also think if you're the type of person who is really stuck in a structure, that for me is where a coach comes into play, because without Maddie, I don't think I would be where I am in this balanced lifestyle. And like, yeah, okay, training intuitively and eating intuitively maybe sounds like something you don't need a coach for, but personally, I don't think I would let myself even do this without a coach.
Yeah.
And I remember I had asked you like 2 weeks ago, or I said like I wasn't really feeling that into the gym, I wanted to explore other like fitness outlets, and you said, "Hey, why don't we get rid of one of your glute days and, take it as a rest day, or go do a run, or go to a yoga class, or go do a Pilates class." And I was like, "Great. Like that sounds amazing." And I think that is also what, having a good coach who really takes an approach on looking at just beyond like the stage and your physique, and that's so much more important when they're also like they're betting on your mental, like they really care about where you are mentally more than physically.
Yeah, well, because you have talent and I want to see you get back on that stage at some point, but
Oh,
it's like
literally.
I don't I know what it feels like to be burnt out. I've been there before. So I think for the competitors that are listening to this and are going, wow, this is really hitting home, but I'm scared. I do want to take just a quick moment. I really don't want to spend too much time on this because I'm not here to lecture, but I do think that it's important to understand that if you're the competitor that really finds themselves, even if you're not, it's being prescribed to you, and you're not necessarily asking for this, but you really are going from extreme to extreme. You're going from I'm in season and I'm tracking everything to I'm not really eating intuitively and actually feeling good about my off season or my life season or what a lot of us like to call our health phase. Oh, I love that term. I'm in my health phase. No, you're eating like a crapshoot is what you're doing. But it's important, you can hear it in your voice, Alexa, the balance that you found for yourself. And if you don't find that, right, and you're oscillating between these extremes constantly, that can lead to physical consequences, right? Metabolic dysregulation is at the forefront of that. You can also have all these sudden changes, gut health issues, bloating, discomfort, digestive irregularity. I see it. The mental component. I don't want to just gloss over that, but viewing behaviors or even foods as in your eating habits as either being perfect or a failure can really create an unhealthy relationship with food. Constant anxiety, constantly worried about the decisions that you're making, decision paralysis, right? Loss of trust in yourself. Not being able to make decisions, even when it comes to food, this does bleed over in other areas of your life. And then, of course, there's god-awful emotional consequences, right? Just exhaustion. This is tiring. It's draining. It leaves you feeling burnt out. Social isolation, deciding to, not go through, not go to certain social events that you should be taking part in. Inability to find balance, behavioral consequences, loss of joy, over controlling food, or maybe not even having the control around the food if you're in that health phase or that life season, can take the fun out of experiences, right? Because you're like constantly food focused. I remember when I had to sort of shift off from being in prep and being in season when I was eating like 5 meals a day to really eating intuitively. I realized for some time, I'm like, I can't eat intuitively and eat 5 or 6 meals a day. That's not what normal people do. And I was robbing myself of my peace and joy. When I would like go out with friends and stuff and we'd be out at the beach all day, every 3 hours, I'm like, oh my God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You really do have to take these periods to learn how to find that balance with yourself again.
Yeah, I
So,
think
go ahead.
yeah, I was just gonna give my little 2 cents on that. I was gonna say like my balance is I've learned the middle ground between both extremes, like there was a period of time where I was kind of, eating like an a-hole and having all the things, and you just don't feel good and you become so uncomfortable in your skin. But then there's also the other side of it where, you really like your hormone health is goes to shit. Like you have your lack of energy, loss of life. I genuinely felt emotionless. I felt like a robot. And like I think it's okay to indulge occasionally and it's okay to be disciplined, but that shouldn't come at the cost of your joy and your happiness and your mental health. And like that middle ground does look different for everyone, and it's definitely something that everyone should navigate for themselves or alongside a coach. But trips like New York City is what showed me that life is so much richer when you really trust yourself, find that balance, and you're able to just handle whatever comes your way rather than just trying to control everything. And I think that's when, that theme of trust comes into play.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that as we have, people listening in and looking maybe just for some practical tips and things that they might be able to incorporate. As they approach this, taking untracked meals, I think, is paramount. Asking and collaborating with your coach to have that and to be stretched in that way. It's okay to express that you're anxious about that tool or that task. Even with respect to training, it asking for and encouraging communication and collaboration with your coach to train intuitively and to focus on, movement that feels good rather than metrics all the time. And then really testing yourself and your limits, assess, but if you're nervous about your ability to trust yourself as you navigate trips or birthdays or holidays or things of that nature, ask yourself the questions, assess the cookies, the cakes, the Bergdorfs, and if this is one of those experiences. So as we're kind of, just wrapping up here, Alexa, I'd love to just ask you a couple questions. But first and foremost, what is one thing, and maybe we've already kind of glanced over this, but what is one thing that you've implemented that has helped you, or maybe that you seek to implement or continue implementing that has helped you trust yourself more around food?
Oh, hands down, I think the intuitive eating days. And it was definitely started off a bit rocky because, I started incorporating those when my hunger cues weren't fully regulated. So I would be going through my whole day eating intuitively. And then at the end of the night, I would realize, oh, wow, I actually don't feel good. But that came in handy because then the following weekend, when I had my next intuitive eating day, I was like, okay, well, last weekend, the amount of food I had didn't make me feel good. And I obviously don't know how hungry I am and how full I am. So let's just go with a little bit less than last time and maybe some cleaner foods. And I felt better. And I think over time, and now I'm way regulated with my hunger hormones. I've been really on top of that. And my hormones are really all regulated, as we know now.
Yes.
So, yeah, like my intuitive eating days now, I take 2 a week, sometimes even throughout the week. If I go on a date night, I put that in my fitness pal as best as possible, but I don't weigh it. I kind of just eat clean and, go about my life. But it's helped me because I enjoy it and I feel guilt-free and I finish the day and I feel just as good as I did when I ate my on plan day, like I felt the same. And there's maybe some room for adjustments when I change up my food or my sources, and I'm like, okay, well, that didn't make me feel good, but we'll address that next weekend. And I've just slowly every week it's been something that I love my intuitive eating days. And honestly, I could probably eat fully intuitively at this point, and I don't for the sake of it, but I could, and I'm glad that I built that trust with myself around food. And that was really, really pivotal and really, really important for me because my relationship with food now, I would actually consider it like probably the best it's ever been. I don't view any food as good or bad. I just view it as it's food and it makes me feel good and it brings memories and that's about it. So yeah, it's been
I
really
love
great.
that.
Yeah.
I as you were talking and you were kind of talking about how your experiences, I guess we could say, for the lack of better words, both good and bad, have sort of shaped how you've adjusted your nourishment practices and move forward, right? In and of that self, you've oscillated and you've self-regulated. The other thing that you've done is you've reflected on experiences where that flexibility didn't derail your progress. In fact, it enhanced it.
Yeah, I think that's also a big, that's something definitely to highlight is that maybe those moments, they're actually for better than for worse. And I think that's where, you know, that can get switched up with people, where they go off the rails, they think that, and they don't feel good, but really it maybe changed their perspective on, okay, well, let me change this next time. And they feel better. And I think that's just a learning lesson in itself. And I think that's way more beneficial than, you know, just tiptoeing around everything, trying to figure it out without actually knowing.
And then again, if a whole meal or something seems intimidating, I do think it's important, even if you're tracking macros, to plan for the cookies. Like, put the cookies in, allow for that. And the other thing too is, like, really, really, really take the time. I can't emphasize this more, to reflect on the experience. Because I think so often, like, I remember a time where I would have an untracked meal and I would completely forget about the experience because my anxiety was just so high around the untracked meal and my ability to trust myself. And I literally would get done with the meal and I was like, that's awful. I feel sick to my stomach. And I would make myself feel, I never got sick, but I would make myself feel sick to my stomach. But had I actually not focused on, like, just the fact that I was kind of full and it instead focused on the conversation that I had and the laughs that I had, I think I would have been a lot happier.
Well, I'm gonna ask you, how do you balance being a coach and also your own goals with food and eating intuitively?
I think a lot of it had to do with, this is more of, like, I think an ego thing. I was so nervous for so long that when I kind of took that leap and began eating intuitively, that my clients were going to see that as, like, oh, Maddie's not tracking this meal, or Maddie's out on a date. And so, Alexa, I actually really want to take a moment, just transparently, to thank you for the conversations that we had in New York. And for, I remember you telling me, like, wow, I really, like, look up to you. And I don't know that I've ever been somebody, like, this is going to sound so cliche, but I don't know that I've ever heard that from anybody. Like, oh, I really look up to you. And I realized in that moment, like, oh my gosh, like, someone wants to role model this behavior. And it's not that I needed that approval in order to do it myself. But I think I realized in that moment how important it is that I'm just a little bit more transparent about those things and
And I
that I
think,
show being human.
yeah, and I think it goes to show, like, I told you that wholeheartedly. I fully believe that, but I think I say I look up to you. I felt that more truly in when you're in your off season now than I did when I was still under you and you were in prep. Like, I think me looking up to you is like looking up to you in your season of life currently, because you know, it's such a hard thing for people to like get to, you know, like there's a lot to overcome to get to where you are. And I mean, that's a lot of what we're talking about now, but that's really what I look up to you for is how you're dealing with this balancing life and eating and drinking and doing all these fun things and trips, and that's where that inspiration and motivation comes from, you know. It's not from the rigidity, which I think a lot of people they think they have to look up to those that are like so disciplined and all, and you know, not to say you're not disciplined, but like, you know, just always 100% on it. And like, I think it's so much more valuable seeing someone do something where you could truly tell their happiness is like bleeding through what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I just appreciate you saying that. That's like, I get to experience this all over again on this call. I love this. We can do this every weekend. As we are kind of, like, wrapping up, I know this is, like, a pretty long podcast episode, and I have a few more things that I would love to include and share with you all. But so as I was kind of just drafting some talk points for Alexa and I was thinking about the key question, which is, what advice Alexa and I might have to give somebody who is afraid of letting go of their control. And something that I had kind of thought of is, instead of seeing flexibility as losing control, you can actually view it as an opportunity to really trust yourself and grow. Remember, like, if you're an athlete sitting on the other side of the screen, you're thinking, oh my gosh, flexibility is causing me anxiety. Flexibility is not chaos. Flexibility is not anxiety. Flexibility is adaptability. And I think it's important that as you're exploring this and being more flexible and trusting yourself, that you really do assess what is the worst thing that can happen if I let go a little. Oftentimes, fear is exaggerated, right? You realize that even if things don't go perfectly, you can handle the outcome of them. And
I
I think,
think
Alexis, something that you may have realized in that is that hyper control really prioritizes short-term outcomes, right? Like a prep or even a reverse. But sustainable progress, longevity as an athlete, that requires balance. And you have to know that these habits, where you're spending 90% of your life, you can sustain for the next 5, 10, and 20 years.
Yeah, I really think it's about learning balance. And, if there was just like something I could give, it would be that, you could start small and learn to trust yourself in small, manageable ways. And, it's not something that happens overnight. You definitely need to build it, like in the gym. But like allowing yourself something as simple as one untracked meal a week, or, swapping a rigid training day for a walk or yoga. I mean, these small things can show you that letting go of that control doesn't mean losing progress. It means freedom, and it also means just like a changing your routine or adapting to something new. And it's not about knowing you'll always make perfect decisions. It's just about how you can handle it and knowing and trusting yourself that you can come back from that. And if you approach something with the mindset that everything will be okay, even if it doesn't go 100% planned, you can grow from it and you'll also learn from it. And it's also an experience to, add to your list that you did something. And that's what progress to me is about. It's not about perfection. It's just about being persistent. And whether that means, you work out all the time, or that means you take up running instead of working out, or you go for runs instead of walks, or you go for walks instead of yoga, it's just making sure you enjoy the process and not the results, and trusting yourself. And when you learn to trust yourself fully, you really stop, becoming afraid of food and like resting and like the unknown of, taking a trip with your coach who you've never met before. And you embrace life in ways that can start to support your goals and your happiness, because those goals and happiness can also change. Like, they probably will change. And I think that's another thing, is people are so apprehensive to like embrace that maybe their goals are changing or their mindset has changed. And I think just taking small steps over time, you'll realize that you are like way more capable than you think.
And I think too, people confuse or they tend to disassociate the two terms that seem like they don't belong together. And that is freedom and structure, right? Something that you talked about at the way beginning of this call is that your structure doesn't have to disappear as soon as you have freedom, right? Freedom isn't in the absence of structure. It's the ability to create a structure that serves you. So as we're wrapping up here, I have a closing note for everyone, if you will. And I just wanted to share a little something that I wrote as I was just thinking about my closing remarks and something that I think could provide a lot of people with some peace as they go into this next week or these next 2 weeks. And that is that balance and self-trust aren't destinations. Balance and self-trust are practices that we build. We nurture, and as Alexa has shared with us today, it's something that we refine over time. We're constantly refining it, right? And for a lot of us, as competitors or even lifestyle athletes, if you're listening, that temptation to control every single variable, it's strong. We've all felt it. It's predictable, it's safe, it's effective, right? I don't want to negate the fact that it's effective, but true goal, true growth, true fulfillment, that fire that you hear in Alexa's voice, it didn't come from prep. It didn't come from a reverse. It didn't come from
No.
structure. It came from finding that harmony in the space between the extremes. And self-trust is your foundation of your journey. It's really about believing in your ability to make choices that honor not just your goals, but also your well-being. And it's about understanding that your worth has nothing to do with your perfection or how perfectly you go about this journey, but to the intention and effort that you bring to your life. Balance, on the other hand, balance is about creating a life that supports both ambitions and your joy. And balance is so important because it's about giving yourself permission. Alexa, you talked about this, to not just indulge and fully experience life, but also to rest, to not always be balls to the wall while still pursuing excellence in the areas that matter most to you. Alexa, you will always and forever be a competitor. You still are, but you're also fully experiencing life right now. And flexibility is not weakness. Flexibility is strength. There is powerful freedom in stepping away from rigid control and into a mindset where you actually trust yourself to adapt, to pivot, and to embrace moments like New York that really matter. And it's in those moments, whether it's savoring a cookie, celebrating a milestone, or just showing up for yourself, that you realize balance has nothing or very little to do with physical health and so much more to do with emotional and mental well-being. It's not about doing everything perfectly. It's about doing what serves you best in the moment. So, listeners, thank you so much. One closing quote that I just want to leave you with this weekend is, you have built the foundation, and now it's time for you to live in the house that you've created. So, listeners, this week I encourage you to reflect on your cycles and ask yourself where you can start building trust. If any of you guys are interested in exploring resources such as one-on-one coaching with myself or our newest assistant coach, Alexa, yes, you heard that right. The link is down below to apply. You can also check us out on Instagram at Mads Michie Fitness or
Alexa Lift on IG.
Alexa Lift, IG. Listeners, friends, and beautiful people, it is such an honor having you all tune in every other weekend as we share new episodes. I'm hoping to make some more podcasts with Alexa, more of a regular occurrence moving forward. And we would love
We have plenty more to talk about our little trip that we had.
just a few things. But we would love your help choosing new topics to discuss with you all. So be sure to give our podcast a rating and leave a comment so we know how we can better serve you, our special little community. Remember, be kind to others and don't leave yourself out of that mix. This is Maddie and Alexa with Empowered Coaching Collective signing off, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.